I'm ready. Welcome, everyone, officially to Season 3, Episode 1 of the Fresh Pinball Podcast. Yes, we've done it. It had to be the George Gomez episode. Had to be a season finale.
Absolutely. There's no other way. I mean, we couldn't have peaked that season anymore. So
cliffhangers here. You got the full George Gomez experience, and now we're back for Season 3.
What a roll into the crazy weekend, too.
Absolutely. Taking that into... Oh, somebody take a drink. I absolutely right off the top there. So whoever's taking a drink on every absolutely, first one's on me. But yeah, if you haven't listened to the finale of Season 2, Episode 6, George Gomez, he talked for an hour and 30 minutes. It was epic. Go back, give it a listen.
I'm still in shock. I re-listened to it. And
I'm in shock.
It was a good time.
Yeah. Sorry, it was a little loud, but everyone wanted to hear what he had to say.
Anyone that listened on Spotify, George is a little loud. Anyone on any other platform, it should sound pretty sweet because I went back and equalized it out. So
want to re-listen?
Maybe I'll re-upload it to Spotify with the better audio quality. But yeah, good times. Check it out for sure. So Season 3, Episode 1, Fact Check. Here we go. So apparently on the last episode, Kyle mentioned, and I 100% did not hear it, putting pinball on the moon.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about
like 2020
moving pinball and doing something else. Kyle says playing pinball on the moon. So of course, you know, my mind immediately goes to, well, you know, people talk about on cruise ships, like, doesn't that throw you off when you're playing pinball, like playing on the moon? Like what happens?
Yeah, zero gravity might affect it a little bit, but
so I did a little bit of research. It's not zero gravity.
I'll say not zero.
I'm sure NASA's like worked on this too.
Oh, totally. Sure.
So on the moon, the gravity on the surface is 1.62 meters per second squared.
Oh, squared. Okay.
On of course. Earth, it's 9.8 meters per second squared. So about a quarter-ish of the gravity.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're going to get some significant air balls if you're playing on the moon.
It'd be real easy to get a ball trap out of Scooby-Doo, though.
You could put a heavier ball in and try and counteract it.
You could. It's definitely a consideration.
Flippers, the shots.
75-pound pinball.
I like how none of us are considering how to get the pinball to the moon.
I'm not worried about that.
We're just trying to figure out what
we'll
do.
We'll load that on the bus somehow and shoot it up, you know?
Like the magic school bus PBS instead. Miss Frizzle, take us pinball to the moon.
She goes all over. I bet she can get to the moon.
She can't. There has to be an episode, dude.
I'm not going to lie. Miss Frizzle was low-key hot, so I'm just putting that out there.
She had some. She was pretty wild too. I mean, just magic. Like anyway, yeah.
Well, they're always little
she had
spoilers
bus, man.
Too.
She had
the bus. Like her dress was always a spoiler alert of like what was going on.
The adventure she'd be. Oh yeah,
a lot going on.
So, wild times.
Wild time with Miss Frizzle. So someone had asked me, and I want to confirm on the podcast, Kyle, whenever Mr. Gomez called your phone, they were hearing some chiming and ringing, and someone asked, is Kyle's ringtone EM Chimes? Can you confirm or deny?
I can confirm. It's one of the classic ringtones on an iPhone.
Okay. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it's easy to hear over a loud environment because I'm deaf, you know.
Makes sense.
Aren't we
going deaf.
Checks
I
out.
Didn't want to offend anybody.
All of us listening to loud music and attending concerts.
Loud cars.
I played music for years. It was. Wear ear protection, guys.
Do it. Once it's gone, it's gone. So Corbin had actually asked me the question while we were riding around doing some stuff of George mentioned during the episode that he felt that Attack from Mars was underserved. And by that, he meant not enough units built for how amazing of a game it is and actually what the demand turned out to be. So with modern Sterns, they'll build and build and build and build. They'll put something off the line, on the line. Yeah,
if there's demand, they're going to do it again and again. Like, if there's, they'll sell them if you want them.
Right. And that's a very new thing in the last, you know, with modern Stern. Back in the day.
It's like, why wouldn't you just, like, you know, if you look at today's standards, but like back then, why wouldn't you just think, all right, run another 500 or whatever?
Make some more.
So how did it work back in the day would be, hey,
they just made X number and
distributors
that was it.
And everyone else, like trade shows, much, right? This game's coming. What do the orders look like? And then they would
just to
build,
get a feel for it, and then
they would build based on that. So sometimes you'd put out a game and it would be gangbusters, and oh man, we don't have enough units, but they're already on to the next thing. Yeah. Where modern Stern now is, you know, they're building Godzillas every, you know, couple months because they just throw it back on the line.
People are still buying them.
And like we talked about before, the crazy thing that modern Stern does now is they'll sometimes build three different games in the same week, which blows my mind.
It's crazy.
Just thinking about like the logistics.
Everything, right? Getting it all set up.
Yeah.
All the correct parts.
Everything. That's the thing. It's like they have to have like parts.
And the staff
carts
doing it.
Yeah, that are specific for a game. Like, oh, it's time to build Godzilla Pro. Let's roll out these. Like logistically, it has to be crazy. Hmm. Crazy, 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 crazy.
And everybody trained on everything.
Oh, yeah. So talking about Pinball 2000 on the last episode at Pinbrew, shout out to, in Salem, Ohio, a little nerd shop called Stone Age Gamer. They come out to Pinbrew every year and bring an awesome booth. And at the very first Pinbrew, they brought out something that sounded a lot like what John Papaduke was trying to put together, and it was called Caveman. So it was 1982 Gottlieb. It's literally a traditional pinball machine with a CRT monitor at the very back of the playfield. So you do certain things on the playfield, and that unlocks
like
the video game mode.
19-inch, maybe 17-inch. Oh, it was tiny.
Tiny. And then there was a controller on the lockdown bar. So then once you got into the,
feels like I'm getting the way,
video mode.
I feel like there was one at Pinball PA, I believe, has mm-hmm. one.
Yeah, okay. So they're around for sure. Hmm. But definitely shout out to our friends at the Stone Age Gamer. Their booth was adjacent to ours at Pinbrew, and they brought the tiny Gottlieb Super Mario Bros. Mushroom World, which all the kids
boys
were loving.
It's
just something about the machines being exactly at their level.
Perfect
level.
And they had it on the small legs, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't there two sets of legs
there
that
are.
Came with those?
Yeah. Yep. And what's even cooler about it is like Max and Ollie can get on it and they can see all the way to the back of the play field.
Yeah,
right. You know, exactly.
Instead of just hitting the ramps. Like
they were playing it all day.
Yep.
They didn't make very many of those, did they?
Pretty low production. Super low production. So that's why if and when the next manufacturer puts out some Nintendo pinball machines, it's going to be
big time
for sure.
Bonkers.
If you have one for sale, please email us at freshpinball@gmail.com.
So the final question of the fact check was somebody asked Corbin, as being an operator, a lot of times the operator world is, you know, very hidden and very, you know, you don't interact with other operators and you're doing your own thing and it's cutthroat and whatnot. So, you know, how does it feel now in 2024 to be working with other operators?
Did you ask this?
No, this was not mine.
I don't know. I think it feels good. I mean, more pinball is better for everybody. That's what I always say. And
not everybody has the same games.
No, exactly. Great. Everyone
there's
has
enough to go around.
Everybody has different games, and you know, it's I don't know, why not work together?
Yeah, I think it's worked out really
well.
Feels
good so far
for us. I mean, we're able to talk to them, and like today we were talking to Matt Quirk at Madcap, and you were asking about PayRange as a digital payment app that you can use to add funds onto pinball machines. Yeah. And he was talking about Multimorphic, and it's just a nice way to be able to get feedback from other people, new ideas.
Absolutely.
And it worked out really well for us to be able to drop off Elton John there for a week. They were able to have a different game. We took the Texas Chainsaw Massacre to Pinbrew and everybody
519
was
on that.
On the little
on the
Subaru.
Caveman?
No, on the little Super Mario.
Oh, 519. Yeah, that is a small number.
Yeah, I mean, I just think back to that. Like, why not? Why wouldn't you want to work together?
No, I just think.
And I know the old mindset, like exactly. What it used to be like, but there's no need for that anymore.
No, I think traditionally it was just a completely different world of you do your thing, I do my thing, and we never meet.
Yeah.
And if we do, we fight.
To the death.
So the last thing that I want to hit on here, recapping Pinball 2000, was George had talked briefly about having a patent on Pinball 2000 to where it was the reflective, the reflective mirror, monitor, that whole situation. So I looked up all of the patent numbers on the back of the Pinball 2000 machine, and none of them were for that specific patent. And I think we discussed it was kind of covered by other patents applicable and pending. But while I was looking them up, I did come across a couple of cool ones that I immediately recognized. One of them was a patent by a certain Stephen S. Ritchie.
What do you think his middle name is?
Play better.
Scuba.
Play better.
Scuba.
Scuba. Scuba Steve. But this patent on this machine was pinball machine having magnetic ball control. And then he had another one on Pinball 2000 that was bi-level pinball machine providing interlevel ball travel.
I wonder what his first one with ball with that using the magnet was then.
So would it be the MagnaSave on Black Knight? And then would this bi-level be from
Black Knight also?
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then there was another patent on here that was for Mr. Dennis Nordman, the Nordman, flipper with aiming markings. So I wonder if those are the little dots on the play field or something on the actual flipper.
Like I pictured lines on like the flipper.
Yeah, like shoot here, release here or whatever, and it shoots that shot or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Because it doesn't say alignment.
No, yeah, that's a good point. Alignment would be the dots on the play field, so it has to be something on the flipper itself.
And those have been on the play field forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we were talking about, I think George said that the patents are only good for 17 years and then they have to be renewed after that. So obviously any patent regarding Pinball 2000 wouldn't make sense to renew because it's defunct and not being used anymore. But there were other patents on this game that were like for automatic replay and things like that, which just still continually getting renewed. So that's the fact check. That's the post Pinball 2000 feed there. So let's talk some Pinbrew, fellas. Ooh. Have you guys recovered?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Still trying.
Well, I know Kyle had to go back to his real job right away on Monday, so you really only got Sunday to kind of start to recharge the batteries.
And what was it, about midnight when you dropped me off? 12:30? I don't even know. It was late.
So my trailer's small. I can fit 4 pinball machines with the legs on the trailer. So Kyle's like, all right, let's put the 2 that are going to my house on the tail of your trailer, and when we get there, we'll just throw them in the garage. Awesome. Great.
Yeah, 2 unloaded.
So all weekend, I'd been telling people as we're loading and unloading games off of my trailer, hey, watch your head.
How many times have I loaded or unloaded a game in your trailer?
I've hit my head a few
times. Watch your head.
Whether after a few beers or not. But
so we take off the first game, no problem whatsoever, drop it in the garage. We go to take off the second
game.
You're at
the very end. This is it.
Wham! Oh. I hit my head.
Oh, you hit.
I hit my head.
I thought it was going to be Kyle. Honestly, that's where I thought the story was going.
Oh, I reach up and I'm like, there's no way I'm not bleeding. There is no way. No blood whatsoever. So.
Well, it's funny too because I set Halloween up that night. And I'm like, well, I might as well play a game of Halloween. It's in the garage, you know?
Right, no, it makes sense.
And I stepped on my dolly, and it smacked me right in the face. So, I mean, you're not the only one.
Straight Looney Tune?
I'm like, oh, I'm going to turn it up, dialed in the sound a little bit. I'm going to turn the lights out, have a couple games of Halloween before bed.
Dude, talking about
right in the face, nose started bleeding. I'm like, oh,
talking about dialing sound in. You had TNA sound dialed in on that thing.
So good.
We got so much chatter about that.
So literally
we had it playing good and you had it sounding good. It was
there were 2 TNAs, Total Nuclear Annihilations, on the floor at Pinbrew. We had the Corbin's Collector's Edition on the floor in our booth, and then there was an original 2017 build in the other room. And I had to have heard at least 10 times people coming in and raving about the way that the one in our booth was set up, how it was better and sounded better.
No, I heard the other one played good.
The other one played good too.
Yeah, the other one played really nice. I mean, it's just set up differently.
Exactly, setup. But if we would have had half a dozen new in-box TNAs at the show,
we would have sold.
I could have sold them. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. People were just going bananas for that.
I love that game.
At one point, I almost went and turned it down. And like, you know, that's me.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
you could feel it and hear it throughout
the
whole
floor.
Booth.
And whatever area we were in, all the shakers
in that
corner were just really, really
that one was
aggressive.
Because Rick and Morty was over there.
Oh, yeah. Zombie
was over there.
Domino's have one?
No shaker and Domino's.
No, there's not one in.
Do you shake pizza to prepare pizza? What kind of pizza are you making where you need to shake it?
Dude,
you collect the ingredients, bake the pizza, then you deliver it. That's it. No shaking.
Yeah, I was going to order some of those quiet fans for the Spooky Power Supplies because they're super annoying, like in your game room at home or whatever. It's like, Jeff, do you want one? He's like, no, pizza headlands are loud.
That's right. Yeah,
that's I'm like, are they really? Like, I've worked in pizza shops.
They're loud, I assure you.
The hood's loud.
So, Zach, what were some of your, obviously, you know, you were there, what, all day Friday, all day Saturday? What were some of your takeaways?
Just a lot of good pins out there. A lot of clean, good-looking playing games. Just nothing really, you know, stood out, but you know, just played a lot of good pinball.
I was blown away by usually by Saturday in the afternoon, like you see a bunch of games turned off and like things kind of starting to go down.
Oh, things stayed on the whole time.
Yeah, I didn't see a ton of that.
Yeah.
That's when we had our little mishap. I'm like, hey, Dave. And he's like, I'm busy.
Yeah. Dave Downey, definitely shout out Dave Downey, Pins Mechanical, was teching everything out and was just keeping games running nice and smooth. We won't talk about that backlash, though, whenever you get back to the warehouse, Dave. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Corbin, any takeaways from Pinbrew?
Oh, yeah.
Now that you've had a little bit of time to stew on it?
No, a lot of good stuff. I mean, if we want to talk machine-wise, I had fun playing. I played that Viper a lot.
What about that Champion Pub, though?
I talked to that guy, too, and two things about him. One, he could fit the Champion Pub in his newer Forester. Just a note.
In case anybody needs to know,
he had the legs off. He had it slid in. Fit nicely. Just, you know, took note of that. But anyway, the cleanest probably Champion Pub I've ever seen.
Yeah, you could eat it.
It was immaculate.
It's not one I'd really like to have in my house. Like,
oh, I'd like to have it.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to have it. Corey and I were talking about that. The amount of mechs that are on there.
There are so many.
So you have the jump rope on the left corner.
Speed bag.
Yeah, the speed bag on the other corner.
Yeah, and then the
center bag spins to the guy.
Yeah.
And then, like, the crazy ramps that come in. Yeah, oh, and the ramps that flip down that loop back to you.
Yeah, we need.
There's a lot of stuff on there.
Yes. Need. Not a want. It's a need.
It's a need.
That's up there for sure.
I am on record as saying that I need Pedretti Gaming to remake that.
Yeah.
Jeff will put it in his
game. Or, I mean, just if you have one you guys want to trade something for.
Who should they email?
Freshpimple@gmail.com.
Yeah, Jesse, my neighbor, came up and everything was like super busy. And I'm like, dude, you ever played this game? He's like, I'm in love. I'm like, yeah, you and everybody else.
Yeah.
So that was
one of the cool games. The Viper, because of the glow. Mostly just because of the glow in the dark balls and the
black lights and stuff. Really cool.
Glow in the dark raccoons.
Those absolutely
raccoons.
Too.
Yeah, those the raccoon on the backlash was pretty funny too.
Had a good time playing Labyrinth. Labyrinth was fun. I mean,
that was the one I waited in line for.
It was nice to get a couple more turns on that.
Yes. It wasn't as bad.
I didn't have time to play it. There was a line.
Yes.
So.
On whatever day Anna came out in the morning.
Saturday.
There was like nobody there, so we were able to get on pretty quick.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the VIP at that sort of show is worth it, because you get an hour early than everyone else and you can just blow through some games really quickly.
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Those are always very cool.
Those guys were cool to talk to.
I'd love to see someone produce spring that for game.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. For sure. Oh, another cool takeaway from Pinbrew, the 3D printing guy. That was
Talk about this, Kyle.
Yeah.
What was it like 6:30-ish? And we had
Friday, right?
Yeah.
We had Friday night, and Jeff had made reservations for about 10 of us to go out to dinner for our annual. We might as well have dinner on Mad Pinball. Thanks, Corbin.
Thanks, Mad Pinball.
Yeah. But anyhow, so games have been running pretty good all night.
I mean, stuck balls were
Looney Tunes was a few stuck balls here and there, but I mean,
Halloween was fighting us with the code.
I'm not going to throw Keith under the bus yet.
We'll talk about him because he literally went on to with his code game. Like Keith did try
very hard.
Because what? We had code on Halloween. We had code on Looney Tunes, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Galactic Tank Force, Valhalla. Mm-hmm.
We didn't do the Tank Force, did we, though?
No, we didn't.
It was like 15.
It was huge, and we were afraid of what it was going to do.
After we bricked Halloween, it was like,
maybe don't touch these.
So 3D printer.
So yeah.
So anyhow, like, what, 6:30 on Friday?
Something like that, yeah.
We're going to dinner at 7:15, 7:30, something like that. And I'm like, oh, America's Most Haunted is like just sitting here with the ball stuck. I'm like, cool, get it out. It's stuck up underneath the ramp for the theater shot. It's like the jump ramp on that game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it must be like in a weird spot. Like sometimes a zombie, like you hit it so hard it goes like under a plastic and it's in a lost spot or something. So I'm fiddling with it. So I finally pull the ramp up, get the ball out of there, and I'm like, what is this? Oh, it's the top of the three bank that drops down in front of the ghost.
It goes up and down.
And I'm like, ah, this isn't going to play now because right. it literally, when that is down, it rolls over and goes in the ghost.
Right, it's like the top hat part.
So I'm like, Corbin, this isn't good. And I was like, we got super glue or whatever? And he's like, no, whatever.
We ask around. We ask everybody for super glue.
We're asking everybody. Everybody's looking, scouring for it, whatever. And Corbin had said in passing, he's like, well, I think that's the same exact part as Attack from Mars.
It's like the same.
Because it's the same thing. So you have those three stand-up targets, and then you go in and destroy the ship. So we go scouring through. Me and Corbin were like, all right, maybe there's one in the junk pile guys over here, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah, like we're looking parts, through all the different boxes and stuff.
Yeah, like they had all cool, different plastics and stuff. Like those guys are always cool. You always
and
find
there's some play fields
you always
stuff
find
and stuff.
Something you need in their piles, and it's great, you know?
So we're looking through there, can't find it, no luck.
Can't find it. And I think at one point, I think it was Keith Campanelli who was like, hey, dude over here's got a 3D printer.
Right, yeah. So we
and I'm like, oh, shit. So me and Corbin walk over to him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, what's it from? And we're like, I think Attack from Mars would work. It's the same thing. And I end up, he pulls the file up. There it is.
Same thing.
We go to dinner.
Yeah,
hour,
he's just
hour
like, he's
and
like,
half.
Like, yeah,
he's like,
come
be
back
like an hour and 20 minutes or whatever. He's like, this is finishing up. Yeah. I'm like, dude, if you're making money off what you're printing, he's like, no, it's not a big deal.
He was printing like Scooby-Doo heads and middle fingers.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was pretty fun. But, you know.
He made a perfect color choice, too. It matched everything, I feel
color,
like.
The color, the green he used and everything.
Well, yeah.
We come back from dinner and it was done. We threw it back on and the
like,
game
we
was...
We literally walked up to him and just ding and like pulled it off the plate and went put
it
on. It
was super
and,
cool.
I mean, the game was down for 2 hours. It was,
yeah, it was
awesome.
Super, just super cool to...
Because I was super bummed. You know, people were so excited to see that game.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be like off.
The well, in
of
the time we had,
I would have
went
and put it in the trailer.
Agreed. I would
kind of like, don't even look at it.
Don't hide
it. Well, people came over and turned it back on and tried to play, and then the ball got stuck right where that drop three break is. And I'm like, well, this is why it was off, silly.
Yeah.
Silly wabbit.
But I mean, my mind was blown like that.
It was just awesome for everybody to help everybody. So anyway, my overall where I was going with, I thought that was really cool.
That was
whole,
epic.
That
was a big
thing. That whole thing was cool. People we saw, we ran into, so we hung out, got to hang out with so many cool people.
I mean, shout out to Rachel Lazar, Dan Lazar, Jared Cook, Lindsay Cook, huge shout out our quarter up crew. So
Ben and Kelly are up there too. I saw them from quarter up, a couple other people.
Yeah. We saw lots of familiar faces and then
people from everywhere, like
Ben and Jake. Everybody.
Yeah.
Ben and Jake, Phil and
everybody,
Melissa
but
and
that,
family
that,
were out.
Is it a,
what?
Keith was out.
Keith was out there helping. Keith was a huge
help
with the
code.
MVP.
I'm just curious
guy.
Though. Like, this is
in
a nice
the mug
segue into
guy.
Like, what's that tank guy? That tank guy.
Oh, we did have a question on location. We thought Tank was going to come. We didn't make it. We were asked though if Tank is a if he's a dog or if he's a person. And we do have him here in the room tonight, so he can.
Tank Hudson, can you confirm or deny that you are a human?
I can confirm I'm a real person and not a dog.
We taught that dog to
he's a real boy.
We taught that dog to speak.
Confirmed. But it was wild, though, because I was talking to customers that I only see really at shows. We had people who come to the local events. We had people who listen to this podcast. We had people who have bought from us. I mean, it was... Your family came out in full force, too, on Saturday.
Pinbrew was cool. I mean, it's probably one of our... I mean, one of my favorite shows of the year, probably.
Yeah.
I would say.
It was a good time.
I was just a little sad that me and you drank all that really good beer Thursday night, and then there wasn't any left for the weekend.
We finished it all. But what are you going to do? I mean, that's how it goes sometimes.
So the hack on the beer there turned out to be with a regular beer ticket, you could get a 8-ounce pour in a plastic cup.
12 ounce.
Yeah.
Or if you bought for $10 the glass pint.
Or if you got the VIP band, it came with it. You had the VIP pass, or if you just got the $10 pint.
Then with the same ticket,
you got the full pour.
16 ounces.
Or by the end of the weekend, we got the mugs because we got the Best in Show booth and Keith was getting those filled.
That was the first time you guys came back with those full. I was.
That was Keith.
I was impressed.
All Keith.
That was all Keith.
Yeah, that was Keith. He's like, Keith Campanelli said, fill these up, please.
To the top, please. Thank you.
That was funny.
So today, on the Kineticist, there's actually a Pin Brew Fest article posted, and the title is Pin Brew Fest, the pinball and beer convention you need to visit. And this was written by Matt Owen, who I think we all interacted with over the weekend. Seemed like a super cool dude, played some games and whatnot. And his write-up is really well done. And he gives us a nice...
Oh, yeah. That guy was real cool.
He was a super nice guy. I think he was a full-fledged force of like zombie making so much money, because like he would go and find people. Did you know Rob Zombie's here?
Oh yeah. By Saturday, I feel like when we had like Saturday, I feel like it's when it really took off.
Yeah, there's
like
a line,
the
for
line
it.
Of people for it. Like,
so let's talk about busier. This a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the Rob Zombie experience, which we teased and teased and teased on Kyle, we get on Thursday. Kyle is like throwing up the tent.
It literally
up
took
the
me just as long as set that thing
as the
up
other
as
14 games.
As, we yeah, unloaded guys, the other 14 games.
Yeah, thanks guys.
Jeff and I did, and he had the tent set up, but it was worth. I mean. For all the talk and the vision, I think you nailed it with your vision.
Oh, definitely nailed it.
Definitely, dude.
But I think Kyle and I were definitely a little nervous on Thursday because there was a trickle. There were people coming in and checking it out.
I don't know if they just didn't understand it yet.
Well, people didn't know.
The word wasn't out.
The word of mouth, because then Friday it got busier. And then by Saturday it was like, I don't want to say a line of people, but there was almost someone waiting.
There was a line.
We had a couple times where there was two or three people waiting. How much you end up donating? How much did it end up?
It was a little over $200.
Okay, hell so, yeah.
That's, we were asking like a dollar a game, but I think
some people put in people some fivers. For sure.
I saw some fivers.
There's a couple 20s in there. It's like, hey, after a few beers. And,
great cause.
Hey, you want to play 20 games on it? Go ahead.
Yeah, knock yourself out.
So it was nice to be able to have it up loud and offensive and, you know, if you want to take your five-year-old in there, that's your.
It was so bright, though. I mean, in the whole place is one of my only, I don't want to say complaints, but like, criticisms I would say is maybe dim the lights
area.
A little bit in the whole the whole room
dim
is
the
so
that was the nice thing about having the tent is it
I guess the other area the front hall area is a little darker.
I only took half the tent and then we had the three other
that was nice. That was really nice. You know, you could also do, if we had the other side open, you could do three down up and down each side very easily.
Easily.
At an angle like that.
No, that tent's going to be getting a lot of use in the future for different things. I can definitely see throwing it up at VFW for starters.
It's already on the bus.
Yeah. That's the
spot. But if you saw any of the sick banners and you need something done, just get a hold of J.E. Mort on Instagram. She'll hook you up.
Those were incredible.
So people, I had tons and tons of people ask me, where did you get those printed? Where did you get those? It was real blood. Where did you get those printed? And I kept saying, no, like this
was actually a real artist.
So people were just blown away that those were legit, the real deal.
They were.
So some kind words that Matt put up for us on the Kineticist were Spooky Pinball and American Pinball were also heartily represented at Pin Brew Fest 2024, thanks to the folks at Mad Pinball, who provided an impressive collection of machines. This included the newest Spooky Games, Looney Tunes, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, along with American Pinball's Barrio's Barbecue Challenge. As a bonus, they also brought a slew of rare spooky games, including Domino's Spectacular Pinball Adventure and America's Most Haunted. However, the standout for me was Rob Zombie's Spook Show International, which was housed inside an appropriately dark tent with immersive sound and lighting to amplify the experience. Kudos, Kyle. Shout out.
That was all Kyle. That was all Kyle.
Living the dream, the big time.
And other than Spalding getting blasted off his post up there, it was decently reliable. I think
really
I had,
everything. I mean, overall,
Kicking stuck behind that one drop target.
It does that.
Yeah,
you ask anybody. Weird. I mean, I probably could just set it up like on a lean a little bit, and it wouldn't happen as much. But why?
I mean, overall, I would say very successful weekend.
I have to. I don't remember all the tallies, but I mean, the play counts were interesting.
300 to 400 was easily the average.
Barrio's
having the most. You said Barrio's Barbecue Challenge was up there like 400 plus.
Yeah, it was. I think the ball times. I think it's part of it. Like that, and TNA's was high because quick ball. And then you have like Looney Tunes though, which there was Looney Tunes in Texas had a line constantly, but four player games and everyone, you know, they weren't quick games.
And Looney Tunes is a longer playing game. I mean,
they both are.
To me, that has to be a consideration for the design team and the operator to find that balance of I want the games to be 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever it is, but you don't want the game to be so short that people feel shortchanged by...
What the hell? It's only a dollar.
My game's over already? How did this happen? So it's definitely a balance with that. Yeah. But it was interesting to see the play counts. It was... I mean, all of the games were getting, you know, constant play.
Yeah,
and just the constant comments of, oh, you never see this game, or what is this? Which was what I heard about Domino's.
Kind of curious once you...
I heard that about Domino's a lot.
What it would be.
What is this? Oh, Domino's.
I think you have the keys. I don't have the keys.
Oh, you don't have the keys?
Unless in the truck, but I have not found them yet.
Keys to what?
Zombie.
You can just break it. It's fine.
You can just break it. It's fine. One of 50. It's fine. No big deal. All good. So Pin Brew Fest, huge shout out to everyone involved, specifically Dave Downey, Keith Campanelli, Marvin Orshad. We still love you, Dave. We'll always love you. Oh, so should we talk about the Congo? So there was a Congo at the show.
It's going to a good home. Keith's going to give us some good love, and
there was a potential of it, but we weren't able to come to an understanding. So instead, it sounds like that maybe a Sega Godzilla might be coming to the Cernica residence.
That could be fun. That's going
to
be fun.
One of, I think Kyle looked it up, one of 500 and some. So I'm interested to potentially get some time on that guy. Sure.
I don't know if I've ever played
one. I don't think I ever played one.
Yeah.
Corbin dropped off the star of the show, William Slugfest, in my garage today.
Oh, yeah.
His mother and father were oogling it all Saturday.
Really, she really liked that.
And Oliver just killing it.
Uh-huh. So I'm over there playing with Ollie, and I'm throwing the pitches, and he's hitting them. I'm like, what is going on here? He's like consistently doing this. I'm like, well, you start pitching for yourself and hitting. There he goes, just doing. I'm like, holy crap. So then Corbin's mom goes over, unbeknownst to me, and she comes like flying over to me. She's like, did you know there are baseball cards in that game? I'm like,
she found the card. We found the cards key. And she's like, there's actually baseball cards in here.
She's like, these are from the 1980s. Like, there are Cincinnati Reds players in here. Did you guys know?
She grew up in like Xenia, Dayton area. So like she loved those Cincinnati Reds.
It was amazing. I got a really good laugh out of that.
Yeah. She was like, just bring it home.
It's just funny, though, that your mom and dad kind of latched on to that, and then Andy from Stone Age Gamer was also talking about it, like, hey, when you're ready to move this on, I might be interested.
Might find my mom.
Right? There might be a little dogfight for it.
I will say, we set that up on Friday. Was it Friday afternoon, Friday evening?
Yeah, so shout out Grant from Cleveland. He traded that in towards his new inbox, Godzilla Pro. So shout out, Grant.
From the time we set up, there's all kinds of pairs of people playing it. Like,
and we didn't have it, like, out in the road.
No,
it was kind of
tucked away.
No, but it got a lot of action. I thought it was cool.
No, it was
very neat.
It was very cool, something different. So again, shout out to everyone involved, tournament players. Mad Pinball was represented very well in the tournament. So
Aaron.
Well, so on the ladies' side,
absolutely.
Emily Harrison, shout out. She got third place on the ladies' side.
She's always good. She's a sleeper.
Oh my gosh. So at Hoover Pinball League. She just destroys me on everything. Yeah. But the one that, I don't know, just speaks to her over there, well, two of them, but Steve Ritchie's No Fear, High Speed 3, oh my gosh. Like, that game, she can just light it up, and then Iron Maiden, she just is amazing on that game. So not surprised that she did well, so congratulations there.
Yeah.
And then in the A division side, our boy Aaron Rich brought home the top spot.
He was jacked up. He was fired up.
That's 2 years in a row he's won it.
Yeah.
That was a really nice moment, too, because, like, we were just about packed up.
And about
like,
to leave,
Somebody checked, and they're like...
Yeah, like, it's the last freaking game. Like,
yeah.
So they played three games in the last set, and they were down to Iron Maiden.
Iron Man.
Which is a brutal game, and they had it set up brutally tough, super
tight. That's Aaron's jam.
Yeah, exactly. So he has an okay ball one, not a better ball two, and he's in the lead after ball two. So we're packing up, and I'm like, hey guys, do you mind if he wins this, he wins it all.
Can we hang out?
And Corbin's like, well, yeah, I'm going to have Dave set Ghostbusters for Midnight Madness, and yeah, I'll be right over. So I'm over there watching, and Aaron is player three in a four player group, and on ball three, 5 million.
Oh, he kills
it.
He blows
it. 9 million, 12 million, 18 million.
I felt bad for the next guy.
20 million.
What was it, like 60 something?
Oh, it was ridiculous.
I don't even remember.
I think it was like in the 20s or 30s. He puts it up
so hard.
Which is an epic score on that game.
Aaron's caught on fire in my basement when I friendly traded him once.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. It had some like real shady aftermarket lighting or something. And I remember the week before being in his house, like, man, Aaron keeps his games real clean. Why does this thing look all cloudy? It must have been smoldering then. But, I mean, it was set up so freaking hard. I mean,
yeah, well, that's why he killed it.
So then player four coming up is no slouch. Carlos from Columbus is an insane player, and I've seen him put crazy – I mean, he's always at the top, and, you know, always in the final four of anything that he enters. So there's always a chance, and – he wasn't able to do all the things that Aaron did, and rightfully so. Aaron was very excited. I think he took home like $1,800.
Yeah, I think that's what it said on the screen.
Was first place for A division. I mean,
and you don't even have to be there on Sunday.
Yeah, I know how hard he grinds and how hard he works. So, yeah. Big shout out there. That was nice awesome. To see. So. And then Hoover Pinball League, Mike Bear was, I don't know if he was official tournament director, but he was heavily involved in the tournament on that side.
Like he ran a tight ship.
And he was playing, too, and he made the top 24, the whatever qualifies you for A division. So it's like you're not only directing this thing, but then you're also playing at, like, the highest level of people. Because it was a good contingency from Buffalo, Columbus, Cleveland, Pittsburgh.
It pulled a nice crowd.
It was definitely a big crowd.
So what about this Ghostbusters situation?
I'm really at a loss.
Did you ever look in the code at all?
I need to do some research.
So Dave Downey does us a solid.
Warren selling his, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like 12K.
Yeah.
What was an LE?
Premium.
Yeah.
Topper?
No topper. So he got it
was
new.
It's got, 253 plays on it?
I don't know.
12 grand.
Because it didn't go under the play field. The ramp, how it goes under and comes back?
I think the one at Pinbrew was a pro.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
Dave. So Dave does us a solid. He opens up the coin door. He sets it for 11:57 p.m.
Yeah, we checked. We double checked.
We're waiting for midnight. You know, we start up a four-player game.
Whoever hits it, hits it.
Corbin goes with number one. He drains immediately. I'm like, all right, here's my chance. I come up player two, and I just cradle up the ball. Just cradling up, just waiting for midnight madness.
Stretching, I might as well waiting.
Slimer where I'm at.
Right. Right. Kyle calls me out on it, so it's like, all right, I better play some pinball. Yeah. And we go through to ball two, like second or third player, and it's like, it's
and we've had, it's well past, you know,
the times had
o'clock.
To have elapsed at this point, so... We go back into it, and it had elapsed. I don't know if it was a code thing or if it was running different movie code.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or exactly what was happening, but we're still chasing that Ghostbusters Midnight Madness. We'll get it. We'll figure it out.
See, 12 is a lot. I guess 12 is a lot for a game.
There is a reasonably high chance that game is going to get produced again, so you'll be able to get a premium for
it. Really? Okay. They keep saying they're going to do DMD, but come on. What are they going to do?
They're not going to do a DM.
They're going to do LCD.
So
version?
The rumor is, I heard, this is just a rumor, folks, is that Ghostbusters, a remake, could be on Spike 3, which another great John Borg game could potentially be on Spike 3 remade, which will be
Avatar.
Metallica.
Oh, Metallica.
I'd rather have Ghostbusters,
Avatar.
Honestly.
Oh, my God.
I know a lot of people won't, but between the two.
I meant Tron.
Ghostbusters.
Tron would be cool.
Tron.
I'd do Tron.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
I would do that
Avatar's
one for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like Tron is always...
Oh, I said Avatar because it has the same drop target piece that broke on America's Most
It does.
Yeah.
Tron, I always feel like, is a possibility because of Stern's great relationship with Disney. Is that That's one is always a potential. And I know there's a third Tron movie coming out soon. It's in pre-production now with Jared Leto playing one of the main people there on the grid, one of the users. I don't know. So it could be a good time.
I've nothing about that.
You've never seen Tron?
Ready?
Wait, Tron? No, I don't think.
Maybe. I don't think I've seen it either.
I did watch. We did watch Labyrinth.
You got it on DVD?
How was it?
Dude, it was good.
Probably do. Yeah.
I'll check.
It's
bring it
like,
over.
It's
I'll watch
it. It's just like Creepy Muppets.
You don't have that on Laserdisc?
I have the original Tron on Betamax, VHS, and Laserdisc.
I do have VHS.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We need a dork button over here.
Kyle's outing me here. I am a huge physical media nerd. I have an insane collection that's all the different formats. And
it's pretty cool.
It's embarrassing.
I remember the first time I was at your house, I was like, am I going to get, like, murdered and, like, put in a freezer or something?
Is this what's going to happen? Yeah. Is this going to be the end?
Kyle on display.
Is this it?
And then you go anywhere with him in the country, and he's like, I got to stop this Goodwill. Check out the...
You never know what you might find.
You never know.
You never know. So Pinbrew was a great time. I think... You know, now that we've all kind of recovered a little bit, we saw the value in going and the
some
reaction.
Some pinballs found some good homes.
Some pinballs found some homes. So shout out to Dom. Dom picked up our Data East Jurassic Park. He got it home and literally the next day was like, hey, tell me a little bit
was
more about
that
Frankenstein.
One?
That was his first game
ever.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, he's an interesting
Frankenstein. And then the next day he's like, tell me more about this Frankenstein. So he might go from a one pinball owner to a two pinball owner within
a
week.
Quick. It happens quickly.
That's faster even than Phil.
Oh,
Frankenstein, pretty clean game though.
Oh, Corbin did
plays
an amazing
great.
Job with that.
Looks amazing.
If it stays around much longer, we'll just keep it.
Yeah. I mean. So Scooby Doo went to Marvin. So shout out to Marvin. He said he was going to take that home and enjoy it.
I mean, knock on wood, that thing was. I didn't have.
I never took
off
the glass off.
Keith had that dialed in.
Yeah.
Keith did.
Shout out, Keith. Way to go, man. So then we also moved a Williams Swords of Fury that went
to.
You
didn't set that up. I didn't even get to play anything.
That went to Dan. Dan and his brother and his whole family, they were out all weekend. I saw them having a great time. And then I know they went home Saturday and enjoyed WrestleMania, which was, I think people were saying, was getting rave reviews with The Rock making his return to the WWE.
Is that what it was?
I guess that was the big draw. That
sounds like a big deal.
So then.
Did you watch it, Tank? Oh, you're nodding over there like you.
You mean?
Zach might turn the TV on for it.
So then the other one that sold there as well.
GTF.
The Galactic Tank Force Limited Edition, the one that looks like the tank with the treads. That's went to Keith, and he's going to be enjoying it for a while and then potentially could show up at one of his locations for you to save the ice cream.
I do want to put that new coat on it and see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get a hold of him, run out to Birdfish.
I have mine I can do it on too.
And then I heard that, so Legends of Valhalla Classic went to Dave Downey at Pins Mechanical, and he said likely that game is going to be going to the Cleveland location, so we can go visit it anytime we want.
After a new backlash?
Yeah, you know, some quick repairs.
This is why we don't have nice things.
This is why we can't have nice things, but we can go up there and throw down Thor's hammer. It'll be a good time. But honestly, I think the big takeaway for me was, you know, if we sold one game, I would have been thrilled to sell what we sell. I was like, man, if everything in our booth would have been for sale, we may have left with just my trailer full of games. The big trailer could have been empty. It was, you know, a ton of people wanting.
We're out of shirts again, too.
That is what blew through so fast. So we had, like,
I think, do we have one left for tank?
We do. We have. Okay. We're good there. But yeah, we blew through almost 100 shirts.
We're about the good days. News to the world. Well, we shouldn't tell them because there's already
what,
too many.
What, Nora? I'm sorry, what, Corbin? Too many ins.
We shouldn't tell the world yet which one we're getting.
We should tell them.
No, there's already a bunch of people who want
them.
It's
going to be a tease? All right. Well, the next shirt is one that we've already run before.
Okay. Yeah. And
putting it back on the line.
And it's coming back. We're pulling a stern. We're putting it back on the line. We're going to make the people happy.
By popular request. Yeah.
Go yeah. Ahead. Hit it.
The purple one.
Let's smash.
Yes. Always.
As seen by Bug on Bug and Screams. Spooky.
Yeah, they're streaming. Oh, so yeah. So we're recording on a Thursday.
A new one, I think he said. Yeah, he needs
some happy old one.
So Corbin, you sent up a box of shirts of the new swag to them.
Most fresh one I did.
So I'm gonna have to check out the stream tonight to see if maybe he's wearing the freshest of the fresh. Yeah. That'll be interesting to see. So moving on from Pinbrew, a quick topic for tonight that kind of came up in the Mad Pinball Angelie Stark novelty circle was we were offered in trade a Whitewater, which is an amazing game.
Oh, yeah.
So the all-timer. Owner.
Nice and valuable game too. I
mean. Oh, yeah. It's one that always pulls, you know, depending on condition, great money by itself. You know, regardless of condition, the better the condition, the more valuable it is.
Absolutely.
So as soon as someone says, hey, I'm interested in trading in a Whitewater, it's like, okay, you know, send me some pictures. Let's talk about it a little bit. Let's see what you have. So this was someone that had already picked up a game from us, Matt in Eastern New York. He'd got a Jurassic Park premium from us a while back and had traded in a Motor Dome. And this was the nicestly restored playfield on a Motor Dome I've ever seen in my life. Oh, yeah.
Is that the one that lives in Cleveland now?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. So
all the coils were had like plugs, labels, like everything was.
It was insane.
Switches too, I think.
So I knew the level of detail that he went through with that gave me peace of mind knowing that this Whitewater was going to be nice. So he sends me three pictures right off the bat.
It's not just nice, it's
over the top.
Never leaving Corbin's dining room, probably living room.
Outrageous orange powder coating that looks amazing.
Don't let the cat out of the bag. Jeff won't let me get it.
We're 43 in here.
No, I gotta pretend. No, Jeff.
Oh. Don't tell Jeff.
And you want me to meet him?
So I'm starting to see.
I can turn his headphones off.
I'm starting to see the decals, and I'm like, man, that's like the brightest art I've ever seen on a Whitewater.
So fresh.
And I'm seeing the playfield. It's like that playfield looks minty. So then next email through is.
Did you see this?
All of the things that he has done to this game. So it turns out this is a scratch build. Whitewater. Everything from the cabinet all the way through the game was bought new or built and put together. Custom board set, wire harness, everything brand new.
Insane.
And it's absolutely insane. So that brings me to the question of, does that make the game more valuable because it's basically a brand new handmade manufactured game?
Absolutely.
Or does it make it less valuable because it's not an original? So Kyle, what are your thoughts?
I think it's definitely adds value. I mean, if you can play a game as it was made brand new manufactured, how is that worth less money?
So if you had three from a category, say one category is an all original Whitewater and it's really minty and nice, you have a scratch build, and then you have a high-end restoration, which one do you think is the most valuable?
I'd say the scratch build.
Personally. You think so? Really?
Yeah. I mean, high-end restoration, yeah, but I don't know.
What about an all-original mint
new.
One?
It's brand new. All-original mints, obviously.
I'd want to line up all three and play them in a row. Then I can answer you. Yeah.
That's a real question.
Just like we had a question today of somebody, like Jeff was saying earlier, that you know, we could have sold 15 TNAs this weekend. And some, and we did take a few customers' names down and got some emails and stuff. So if we found one and a buddy of ours was selling one, and it's like, do you want a CE or do you want an original? And me and Jeff had said, well, you know, we own a CE together. Like, if they want the CE, sell the CE, we'll buy the original.
Right.
Like, it makes no difference to me on, like, that particular game.
It's just like, but Chicago not, Games.
Yeah, but it's not, you know...
With the, honestly, with the Chicago games, I guess if we bring like that into the topic, like
yeah.
the remakes versus the originals, some of these times I'd almost prefer the remakes at this point for the route operation purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
Reliability, availability,
it's the updated
parts.
Stuff. You know,
but if you're a high end collector in your basement, I don't know. It'd be it'd be hard for me from a really nice original versus a scratch build. Yeah. I don't know.
So I think we're all four of us are car guys to a certain degree. So we were. Comparing it earlier off podcast to the difference between like a resto mod and you know an all original matching numbers car, I think it's the same sort of argument.
Yeah. Or even like a factory five kit car for like a Cobra or something.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, I'd want the Cobra, the new one, the kit car, because then I could do whatever I want to it.
Right.
I think there's that side of it.
And you're not ruining.
You're not ruining a factory original. Exactly. Yes, I'd love to have a factory original, but can't afford it.
Yeah,
and people get mad when I swap some of our
motor. The challenge with the original is then you're afraid to customize it or do anything that you want to do to it. You know what I mean? Like as soon as you do anything, or you drive it to the grocery, or you take it to a show, the pinball to a show, or you add LEDs, you do what a color DMD. Then now it's not original. Like so, then are you hurting the value of it?
You know, and I find is like I get older too, like. You know, I'll get something I really want and then like something will happen to it. And the less I care about, you know, like that aspect of it, you know, like you get a new car and like you get a scratch on it like anymore. I'm just like, I don't give a shit, you know, and I kind of see pinball in that same way is like, you know, I'd rather like say Rob Zombie or your Domino's going out. Like people need to play this stuff, you know, like and. You know, good is it doing sitting in my basement looking pristine?
Brings me, like from Pimber and other things, like getting these weird games out there for people to experience is good enough for me to buy them and hang on to them and do stuff with them.
We should have brought Flipper Football with us.
I know. That's why I still want to take it to Chicago or to Ann Arbor. I know it burns us, but dude, I want it to happen. I want it to work.
It's not going to work on the Michigan Power.
Dude, that's what we were worried about. Jeff's been burned by it. He's against it. We started talking about what we should take to Ann Arbor today.
We could fit four in the bus.
Because Kyle was absolutely opposed to bringing it to Chicago. And we were all like, oh, no, bring it. It's going to be great. And then we drag it all the way out there.
It didn't work.
But it would have been great.
It would have been. But what if we drag it all the way to DFW?
Dude, all right. Then it's dead to us after that. We have to try it one more time.
One more time? One more shot? Time.
One more
what
shot.
Else are we
gonna
take?
One more chance.
Not to change the subject, but what else are we going to take?
No, I don't
care. This is a completely
thinking about
different
it.
Conversation.
Sorry. I mean,
I just need to start processing.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as VFW
so
goes,
back
what
the,
don't they have?
So, Corbin, on this Whitewater.
Yeah, back probably, to this topic. The boards are one of my thoughts on it, too.
So I copied you on the email thread because I knew your mind would be blown, and also because I wanted to lure you into helping me execute this trade.
Absolutely. So Jeff can sell it on eBay.
Right. FIBA. So you're seeing it, you're looking at it, you're reading the description, and you said one of the things that came to mind for you was the board set.
It's just interesting. I guess I'd have to do research on the board set itself. I think I've read about them briefly on Pinside before, but like I don't know enough about them to be like Oh, yeah. I believe this versus, like, I've always been like, Rotten Dogs, I don't trust a whole lot.
Originals, and that was one of the things that he immediately shouted
not
out.
Not Rotten Dog, which is because anymore, not hate on Rotten Dog, but like, an original is always superior to Rotten Dog, like, just for whatever purposes. But, yeah, I don't know. I've
is
always
the
been
code like, the same?
Yeah, so everything about this sure is going to be exactly the same.
I know there are people who are remaking the boards, like, to original
spec.
Standard spec, yeah. So, I mean, I'd have to do a little research on the board. That's one of my questions.
So he said, these are handmade PCBs, and then refers to someone named Victor's.
Yeah.
Stock-made cables copied from a real game with color striping, reproduction ramps, boulders, Comet LEDs, prismatic illusion powder coating, CPR mirrored back glass and plastics.
Yeah. I want to know about the topper, because the thing with the topper is that it has that unobtainable
that you can't get that
the paper, so I'm curious, he has a new topper, does it have the effect? But I also saw the lights looked completely different as well.
Exactly, so it looks like that the topper doesn't have that traditional effect that the original does, but then that lighting system tries to simulate it as much as possible. So I'm interested to see that in person.
You know, honestly, I'm like, the more I'm thinking about this, part of me is like, I like the original, like some aspects. Like, I'm worried that this, I'm interested to get this if we end up with this or sure. whatever happens. You know, I would be interested to
it's
put it.
It's happening.
Cool. I'd be interested to put it next to the original White Water and just see, because, like,
side by side comparison.
Part of me almost thinks like that original vibe of might be a little bit lost with this one.
It could be. It
I mean, I think this is a beautiful looking game. The orange powder coating surprised me. I didn't at first, like, at first glance, I'm like, orange.
Prismatic,
and then you look at it and you're like,
powder coating.
All right, it looks good. I don't know. I'm excited to play it and see it. I just hope they didn't do it too much where it feels, because sometimes like the Funhouse 2.0 feels like too much where now I just don't like it because I feel like we're changing.
Well, I feel like it breaks every time we play it too.
Well, that too. But I mean, like, it just feels like, I don't know.
So the absolute, as I was reading through to the description of everything that was done to this game and everything that was included, my favorite part was custom-made Bigfoot fur. So the Yeti on the playfield, the Dennis Nordman toy that everyone knows and loves.
Which, if Dennis Nordman is out and about looking for something to do, if he needs somewhere to hang out or wants to do a little work, I don't know what's going on with him in American, but if he can come hang out with us.
Dennis Nordman is absolutely welcome on this podcast.
That's what I just wanted to say. If he needs something to do, he can come by.
Yeah.
You know, and we can hang out, fix some pinballs, play some pinballs.
Yeah.
Anyway, just want to put that out there. Dennis, if you're listening, I don't know if you...
Ask him where Whitewater 2 is. Is there a Whitewood somewhere?
I heard that they shut it down. They gave it the kibosh because the cost was too high.
For the license? Or for the whatever?
The mechs, like the bill materials.
The bomb.
Is there a license on...
I would imagine you'd have to... That's a Williams, right? So you'd have to get that through Planetary somehow. The same as Pedretti and Chicago Gaming.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows if that's true, though. It's, I don't know. I read it somewhere or something. Like, it was, American said no, it was cost too much. And then,
well, I know when we talked to him at Interium, he said his next game was going to blow our minds, and it was the most loaded game that he's ever designed. So
it's not the barbecue one.
It's lining up with what you said, that, you know, that maybe Whitewater was too loaded. And
they shut it down.
They put the kibosh on it.
Put the old kibosh on it.
We're doing Barrios.
Yeah.
So Whitewater, this definitely, we're 90% of the way there figuring out the trade. Just have to figure out the logistics and everything else. And I'll post up some preliminary pictures onto Instagram.
Yeah, but what are we going to do with it then? That's the question.
So I
don't know. It doesn't have enough color LEDs in it, does it?
It does not have color match LEDs.
I'm not sure why you're going to hate on my shit sometimes.
Okay, sidebar of color match LEDs. Did anyone else play the Independence Day at Pinbrew?
I watched you play it.
It had the worst
color
match LEDs.
As I watched you play it, I'm like, I'm not even going to play
it. Was
like,
it all blue? The whole
there were a ton of blue and red. So I ended up finding it didn't sell at the show.
Right. We played it. Like, you turned it back on at the end to play it.
Of course I did, because I wanted to play it.
Yeah, and then you're like, let's buy
that. So then I found it on Facebook Marketplace for the same price it was at the show. So I saved the ad, and I'm going to circle back and,
you know, let it marinate for a little bit.
I can't bring in too many games all at once. You know, it starts to get a little crazy. I've already got the Slugfest coming in, the Sega Godzilla coming in, possibly this Whitewater coming through. So what are we going to do with Whitewater? That's the question. First and foremost, we need to put it side by side with the
original.
Let's route
this bitch. make sure there's coin mechs in it.
I need to play them side by side to experience the difference between one that was scratch built and one that is the original.
I can't even imagine how buttery freaking smooth it has.
Oh, it better be real smooth.
I mean, it's smooth worn out.
Smooth as the fruit.
You know?
Exactly. Mm. Riptide. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, I played a pretty janky Waywater and still flowed.
Oh, yeah. Waywater is such a game.
It is so good.
The problem is, I'm just afraid we're going to get this, and then I'm just going to be like, well, we should escape it. But then I'm like, should I sell the other one? But then I'll be like, nah, we should keep both.
Our options are how it's going down. We get it in,
Put
them side by side, do a comparison, definitely do some like video recordings.
Find a genius to do some NBA fast break linked Waywaters.
Oh, link up Waywaters.
Dude, I could easily link, we could easily link a tilt to a switch, yeah. some switch. That would not be hard to do.
Yeah. Get our pinball Olympics on.
Yeah, do it that style. Anyway.
Then we do events. With the two. We could do events of like a 5 or 6 Nordman game little tour.
Okay.
Because we're also bringing one game into the circle. Corbin, that's another Nordman game. A little scared stiff action.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's transferring from Kyle to me. It's like it's staying in
the family. So
yes, I'm
we've got some Nordman options. We could easily put together 5 of his games, have those side by side, do ourselves a little tour. You know people would be excited about it.
They would.
So that's step two.
Okay.
Step three is then we pass it around our houses.
Well,
we enjoy it.
I mean, that's how it usually goes.
And then we sell it. Then we cash out.
Yeah.
I'm down for like 4 out of 5.
We'll see how five goes. Until cashing out portion.
Good. I mean, that's not a bad plan. Well, that sounds good.
I think that'd be fun.
You know? I'm down.
Definitely.
I mean, I'm in.
A good time. Let the people make the judgment on which is better. Just tell us what to do.
What's that email again, Zach?
Freshpinball@gmail.com.
I like it. I like the idea.
I think it would be fun.
I'm game.
Have the little, you know, the little Nordman crew coming around. The little Nordman.
GTF?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could have the tank, the UFO.
You think I'm dragging that tank back out of Sweets and Geeks anytime soon, sir? You are incorrect.
We could put some regular legs on it.
We're going to need to here soon.
Oh, yeah, those are bad.
So Halloween is at Kyle's house now, and once he's finished up with it...
He's testing it right now.
Yeah, it's game being dang, game so, tested, I mean, of course.
God bless Keith and his updating skills all weekend, but he didn't read the fine print on the Halloween one.
He had like 6 codes on one stick.
Yeah, you can only have one file, because it's just going to pick whatever file. Right. So it was trying to like... I don't know if it was trying to pick like all the files and...
But what was weird is it would boot all the way, like it's ready to play a game, and then it would say...
Contact Spooky.
Yeah, invalid.
No, invalid gameplay or something.
Oh, invalid game code.
Made me feel invalid.
It's weird because when I talked to AJ, he said that it should have... he's like, no, when we sent you that, when the one I loaded on, it should have unlocked it for good, so it shouldn't have reverted back.
It was weird. It was a bizarre thing. But that Halloween is going to Sweets and Geeks, so we'll be adding that to the lineup.
Yeah, it's playing nice.
So that'll go up in the loft there where the big Simpsons figures in the couch is. And Corbin had mentioned that maybe we might try to sneak a Simpsons pinball party up into that area, and that would just make a nice little quartet
of
games
on that
up
location
there.
For sure.
Yeah, because that's their comic
book
area.
I'm glad to have that game for a few weeks or whatever here, because like it's one of those ones that I never really got to appreciate like in the arcade. Like,
yeah.
You know,
I haven't gotten to play with the new code yet, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, and the call-outs are like everything. It's like, shoot the left ramp, you know, like, it literally is telling you what to do.
I had fun with it when it first came in.
That was you and Zach's first big trip up to Spooky and all of that, so, I mean, that was a big-time move.
Yeah, because we went there and back in a day.
It was a haul.
There and back.
And set it up and played 20 games that night.
I'm sure you know we did.
Amazing. So that'll head up there. We'll probably get an event scheduled up there sooner rather than later once we have 4 or 5 games there for the people. But definitely has been a nice build-up of success up there already. People are enjoying the games. Corbin just did some work on the Avengers Infinity Quest Limited Edition.
Reassembled the spinner situation.
That spinner, I mean, it's the main thing of the game that you're trying to do.
Found all the parts.
When it's getting bashed all day, it needs some Loctite and loved back up and... ready to rock and roll again.
I think we also, next Wednesday, we're going to do a Cactus Canyon High Score Challenge out at Unhitched.
Yeah, so out at Unhitched, we're going to do the Cactus Canyon
High Score Challenge. We added the SE Plus, the topper.
With the topper. What, it's got the mirrored back glass.
Yeah, I did get that.
All of that goodness.
The art blades, everything.
Art blades, yeah.
Pulp Fiction is down at the Oracle, too.
So if you're in downtown Canton, stop by the Oracle. We've got Elvira House of Horrors in there currently.
Last time after we finished recording, we unboxed it, played a game, and then moved it down there.
So when Corbin says we played a game, he means four people played the game.
I haven't even had to watch. Honestly, haven't played that game of my own yet.
Sad.
Sorry, Josh, I'm coming to get it. It's so good.
Sad business.
Yeah, I was hoping that I was going to stay here for
a bit. So you guys were at Madcap today.
We were.
And Jeff forgot to check my score on
I didn't look.
So here's what happened. I'm having epic games on Medieval Madden. Tell him, Corbin. Tell him, epic games.
He was there. He had a good game.
I'm destroying castles.
You got a replay.
I got two replays.
You got a double replay.
I'm taking down.
I mean, as of Saturday, I still had the GC on that.
Okay.
From like a month ago.
I'm taking down trolls. I'm catapulting stuff. Amazing things are happening.
Tina Fey was yelling at you.
It was amazing. So then finally we're done playing that. We go over to Pulp Fiction to play a two-player game. I get on pay range. I credit up with the
It's finally time. Jeff finally is going to buy a game.
Finally.
Oh, I don't have any quarters. Rings. Don't have any quarters.
It's always out of Corbin's knapsack.
And it's Pittsburgh Mike Bear wanting to chat it up about whatever. And in the time that I was on the phone, Matt Quirk showed up. And then we left with the credits still on Pulp Fiction.
I played.
It was sad.
Yeah. It's good. It's so good. His play is really nice, too.
It does.
I mean, they probably all do, but...
Yeah.
So what other event thing... We talked about some other event things potentially today, too.
Next month, we're going to do something out of Unhitched with, like, barbecue.
Yeah.
And they're going to tie some food in. I know...
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Do some kind of barbecue, something like or another
nice
with
brisket
it.
Brisket sandwich or something.
Well, and then I said you've got the Royale with cheese there on Pulp Fiction, so it'd be cool to do... You know, they have their smash burgers out there and whatever. You could do a little combo, you know, special there.
So I think we'll probably do something. We can both them out for that.
Yeah, bring those that'd two games cool. And then whatever else we have laying around because there could be some potential trades always afoot.
Where's Diner at? We'll probably take that too.
Diner is actually a new place. We just set that at one of our newer places, Cool Cat's Counter.
Oh, yeah.
In the Bound Village. So it's there with Creature.
Yeah, what's that? What runs that on? I was driving around.
So it's where the CC's Pizza used to be.
Oh, okay.
Like right there in Bound Village. Like Penn Station or Sir Troy's or any of that.
Yep.
Like,
okay.
The sign right on the street one is big, but the above the actual door is tiny.
Cool.
Yeah, and it sounds like that connection might then end up with pinball machines at a sister restaurant at the Sunrise Cafe.
We might get some games. Just a little. So at Cool Cats, there's the pinballs, and then there's air hockey, puck bowler, little crane.
It's like a full little arcade room.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're gonna put a basketball game in there. I might try to recruit Jeff into helping me do that next week.
I will.
And
actually, he's going to be on a cruise.
I know.
It's time. I need another vacation.
Do you know who he was going on a cruise with? Oh, I can't tell you. Never mind. Then we might end up doing something at two pinballs or so at Sunrise Cafe in town, local place in town as well. So.
And then we made a nice connection with Brian of Half's Hot Sauces. He plays in the Hoover Pinball League. And then we also talked extensively at Pinbrew about a brewery down in Yorksville, Ohio called Holy Moly.
Looks like it's in an old church.
Yeah, I've
never heard of this either?
Holy Moly.
Holy Moly? No. Yorksville?
Yeah.
You know where Yorksville is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're gonna go down Monday, or on our way back, we're gonna stop Monday.
So we've got a couple things going on in Columbus we're going to take care of, and then swing back through Yorksville around 4 o'clock or so and meet with Gary? I believe it was Gary. Gary and Darren, and talk some pinball. It sounds like they're excited, and, you know.
Right out.
Get some more pinball out there for the people.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
So we're just eclipsing the hour mark here.
Talking about the eclipse. Yeah, who saw it?
Oh, my God.
It was pretty sweet.
I wish we were just a bit north. We didn't get the totality here. Well, at least Alliance.
Did you stay? You stayed in your house.
So hung out at home. Same. Norn and I.
Alliance was like just a.
We went out on the deck and it was dark
for the, I don't know, 45 seconds or something.
A couple minutes. I'd say 3-4 minutes max. Yeah. Like, but then it's like it started. You could start seeing little star size again.
The things that blew my mind were. It dropped like 10 degrees.
Oh, the temperature dropped.
How quickly it totally got dark.
Yeah.
It got
all the dogs were barking in the neighborhood around us.
Freakishly dark. And then birds. Birds were the thing chirping. That I noticed the most.
Going crazy.
Because they didn't know. Is it night? Is it day? Is it morning? What is happening? So that was nuts. Just overall, definitely, like, I didn't build it up in my mind to be like anything special. And then when it happened, I'm like, this is pretty cool. Freaking cool.
It was pretty cool for sure.
Now, if we can just do that on a pinball back glass.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
We should have had a party, but
like a new black hole.
Should have been on the river.
Well, yeah, we should have been on the river. But it was, yeah, because I mean, you could do like black hole, blackout. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of,
there's a lot of
Paul
options.
13.
Paul 13.
13.
Like to play ball. Yeah.
I just watched that the other night.
It's a good movie.
It's a classic.
Yeah. I see them pop up sometimes. But
I just feel like they're too expensive for what they are.
I think I would pay like.
Well, you don't want to pay $6,000
no.
For a 13
I'd say three
ball
or 4,000. I'd pay
four.
I'd go
four.
Three or four range.
Four's the number.
Yeah, I'd do a four.
Oh, Corbin and I had a shot at a jackpot today, and I.
It just didn't make sense.
It just didn't make sense. Mm.
I would like it, but I'd like Bride. I think Bride I'd like over Jack. Jackpot's good. We need them all, but Bride would be
well,
more.
We were talking. I'd rather have a Bride. That way we can get the Dutch kit.
Yeah.
But turn it over to the DMD, upgraded power, power to the speakers.
If we like do that, then I'm like, we need both because I'd like the original still, too. Mm. Like, you know, two of them.
We have real pinball problems here.
Yeah. We got VFW coming up. I mean,
we do.
Saturday, May the 4th. This is one I know.
May the 4th be with you.
Come out. It seems like it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's like 600 pinball machines. It's some
it's
insane
at least five.
Number.
And when they break, they bring a new one.
Dude,
out.
TNA would be. I'm thinking about
right.
What we should take. TNA, maybe it comes.
I think TNA would make sense to put in that breezeway and then Barry O. Like, I think people
they
would be
they do have
interested
a TNA there,
that.
Though. Remember that.
They do have one.
They do?
In the back.
Yeah.
Next to Playboy and Big Dick.
Yeah.
Holy shit, they do.
It's
you're totally
it's
right.
In the,
you're
it's
totally
in the,
right. It's in the he hates section.
Yeah, it's in the shit
damn.
Room. Yeah.
All right, well, okay. I guess I was thinking about games we should bring for us to play at the house.
But
we're
I'm
also thinking about games we should play.
To come to the house for us to play.
For them to play there.
I think one game into the breezeway would be a huge win and kind
for
of get
us yeah.
into that crew.
I think it we should help. Take America's Most Haunted.
That would be one that
yeah.
people would be interested to see.
I mean, even for us to play because it's so much fun.
It is so much fun. A lot of flow in that game. A lot That's more great. Flow than I expected.
Yeah.
Because for a while with Spookies, like Rob Zombie, Alice Cooper.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, then why is this
brutality.
So fucking hard?
Right, it's just brutality yeah. where it's like there's flow to that game. It's just so good.
What game it's do okay. they not have there that would set off, like that would fit in like, you
So
know.
I think something Capcom tends to make sense because they have a big bang bar.
Dude, we could, honestly, we could go get.
Is Pinball Magic out right now?
You know where it is.
Break Shot.
I just told you earlier, we can't forget about the four games in the basement in Columbus.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I forgot it was
we
down
there.
We can
go get that.
Huh. Yeah, so May the 4th, Vintage
I mean,
Flipper
we're
going to
be down there on Monday, so.
Yeah. Are we going to bring a cart this time, or am I just going to have to push it up the steps like a pack meal?
We're not doing that up. I mean, I don't know. Should we? I have been missing Pinball Magic.
Yeah, I love that game.
We can talk about it. We can think about it. Vintage Flipper World near Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hop on their website now. You put a measly $1 deposit down for your ticket.
It's what, $80 for the day?
And then you pay $80 yeah. at the door.
I love cash. That it was up at $100 and then like COVID, like if you're vaccinated, it goes to $80 and then it just never went back up.
Yeah, I think also they dropped it down now post COVID as well because they're allowing more players during COVID.
Yeah.
I know they limited the cap of the number of people.
I'm
that
excited.
Could be
there. I'm real excited.
I can't wait.
You know what's crazy about VFW
it's always
3 years
time.
Ago?
Hopefully Mary Beth will be serving tacos out the window.
You know, we plan on it.
Yeah.
Smoke a bunch of pulled pork up. And
oh,
yeah.
Yes. So 3 years ago, I went on my own. Sad Jeff pinball
were
player.
Were we there?
And
I think I saw you.
We were there. I remember.
I got there early, and then all of a sudden I see Anna and Corbin and Zach. I don't remember who else was with
MB
you.
And Ollie.
I think they
That's
let,
right.
they let Ollie in that year.
So I'm like, oh, you know, I know Corbin from Rack It Up. I'm like, hey, how you doing? Whatever, you know. And of course, I'm running around like a crazy person, taking
Taping
pictures
everything.
And doing whatever.
Yeah,
oh,
like, at that point, this guy, this Jeff's yeah. video,
look at this nerd.
Like,
here.
Well, this fucking asshole. How did
now,
he hear about this?
The last 2 years, we go up as a crew. I don't have to go alone anymore. I don't have to be a sad
time,
panda.
I love it.
Sad panda Jeff is the worst. Jeff.
We're going up. I think this year we're gonna have like. I mean, Tank, you and Angelica are coming. Nate
yeah.
Mikey said they'll be back in town. Nate Mikey said they'll be back in town. I think Ben and Ben and Shannon are coming. Ben's out west snowboarding right now. I'm sure he's having a good time. Give him a shout out. He has a whole big generator. We'll do another generator talk next time. I gotta get all my notes together because they're all spread out.
We should just have him stop by and talk.
Yeah,
about
might he
generators.
Be available to stop by for the podcast?
He might be. He can call in, maybe.
Might have some time.
Yeah, we'll see if Ben can call in. So somebody,
I won't make him as loud as George. I'm sorry, guys.
No, it was good. It was good. We could hear George. I thought that was good.
Does his Definitely. Does Ben's phone do voice to
yeah,
dot?
He's
voice
been texting
dialing?
Me, so Anyway, they.
I can't wait to sit.
So anyway, we're gonna have a good crew.
It's gonna
we're
be
all
a
gonna be
big
there.
Crew because Keith and Travis,
Keith and his people are coming.
Phil's gonna be up there.
Oh, Phil's coming. Okay. Oh.
Phil is in.
Is he coming to the Airbnb too?
Yeah, of course.
He's coming to the Airbnb.
Phil, we need to pay like $40 a piece, so everybody's got to come to the Airbnb.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Melissa coming too?
That I don't know.
Just curious.
I don't know. So I had double... Corbin, I know, had heard this. I had accidentally double booked that day.
Oh, yeah. I heard about it from Tia.
Shout out, Tia. Thanks for being...
She's not listening
wife
still, dude.
...of the year.
We're 109 and she's
because
out.
I had booked that not knowing that, like, literally one day a year for her work, there's this big charity auction dinner thing where you have to put on, like, a suit and, like, do all this stuff. And somehow...
What kind of suit
is
do you have?
Angel auction.
Dude, yes.
Exactly. It looks like a penguin.
It's like almost tuxedo level. It's a nice little suit. You know, I can pull it together.
I bet you look pretty good.
A little dapper.
Just gets it taken out every year.
Just a little more. Just a little more. They don't call me Slender Man for nothing.
I mean, taken in.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I'm thankfully she has dismissed me from my obligations there.
She said her other friends will be there.
She
the
did.
One she likes better. So.
Yeah. So she said she won't miss me at all, other than
you're probably off the hook.
She might have to take an Uber home. So the Jeff Uber won't be around.
Norin can pretty much drive a car.
Oh, yeah. So when we were on our cruise, when we were on Grand Turk, we rented a golf cart. And I'm like, oh, dude, like, you're driving the golf cart. And he was just living his best life, like, you know, pedal to the metal.
It'll be an STI next.
Oh, my gosh.
Luckily, the clutch will slow him down.
Yeah, no kidding.
We take a Ferrari to teach him the clutch.
There
dude, whenever you need it, let's...
We got to teach him on the legit simulator there.
We got to get that out. You know, put that somewhere.
It's such a cool piece.
It is.
It was fun to have in the garage.
It's
just
so huge.
Took my whole garage, man.
So let's shout out, in my book, Father of the Year, Garrett Fuller of Medina, Ohio. His 16-year-old has a Subaru WRX. So shout out, Garrett for
I think Pops Jeff's the
spoiled
father of the
child
year.
Of the year.
Ooh, man.
I hope that plays out well.
That's living the dream right there.
Our dad never let us.
No, man, I got... 3.1 liter V6 Camaro.
Dude, they remember at first he was like, the neon.
Gotta start with the neon.
Then he's
dude,
like,
all we asked for was a 5-speed, and he wouldn't even give us that.
That's all we wanted.
Like, dude,
we
give
don't
us
care
a
what it is.
I had a Chevy G-Van 20. It was
ooh,
the best first car.
Ooh, the conversion van.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had the
that's
Astra.
Where like,
I had
the
Astra
engine
eventually.
Is like right in the cabin with you.
Yeah,
and it was
the
like,
doghouse
it was
off.
A conversion van, and I bought it off old man, and he's like, oh, you know, I used to take it fishing. And he had like a whole bathroom built in the back of it. It was disgusting.
Oh, you told me about
but
this.
But it was
you
cheap as fuck.
This. Yeah, so, you told me about this for sure.
So first cars for me. My first was a 1978 Chevrolet square body Silverado.
Oh, nice.
In sweet primer gray. Four mismatching tires.
That's worth like $25,000.
Oh, yeah.
Easy.
Now it is, yeah.
I know what I have. Don't lowball me.
It had the rails on the bed so that whenever we would go and cut wood, you could fit more wood into the bed. I mean, this was a sweet piece, let
damn,
me tell
dude.
You.
Dude.
That's Carrollton at its finest
was,
right there.
I was pulling all the ladies.
Big shot, dude.
Yeah.
Tia scored a fucking...
Check, keeper.
Let me
that
tell
truck.
You. All right, final thoughts there, Kyle. You have any final thoughts here for the listeners?
Just go play pinball and don't argue with each other because it's stupid.
Exactly. Corbin, final thoughts?
I just want to say thanks for everyone we talked to and hung out with at Pinbrew. A lot of good people. Rob Fowler, we hung out with Rob. It's
yeah,
good to
Rob,
see him.
Rob.
We hadn't seen him in
definitely
him.
John,
seen him
in a while.
Darkroom John.
John
hung out.
I'm not coming
John
tomorrow.
Got to be on
I
the
have
bus.
Your topper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm here.
Always good to see him. I mean, just good to see everybody and hang out and have
Matt Mendoza from the Cleveland scene.
Yeah.
We saw so
we
many
saw
people.
Oh, there's, people. Nick was there streaming.
Bonnie and what's her husband's name from New York that always
yeah.
come out?
Nick yeah. Camps was there. Yeah. The skill shot. Yeah, it was an awesome. It was great seeing everybody.
Yeah, just good to see everyone. So anyway, yeah, go play some more pinball and just mute me.
I'm sorry.
He definitely muted you.
He did. The wrong button. Son sorry.
He's like, you're done.
Final thoughts, done. Zach?
Just, you know, play better.
I also want to, my final thoughts, just thank everyone. Yeah. Pinbrew Fest. It was an awesome time. It was a ton of work, but it was really gratifying to see everyone having an amazing time playing the games.
Yeah.
We definitely enjoyed beautiful. The interaction and, you know, just hanging out with the crew and whatnot. It was a good time.
Definitely.
So, Kyle, if you want to play us out with some of the soothing Christian Bates, the Mad Pinball Jingle.
That was my drum roll.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah, you muted that, didn't you? When you were trying to mute me.
There it is.
I turned my phone down.
And never forget, for all of your pinball needs, email corbin@madpinball.com.
And if you have questions, comments, concerns, you can email us at
freshpinball@gmail.com.
If you need a newest Stern, American, spooky, you need that ABBA pinball, bros.
You gotta have that ABBA.
You better know where email to go. Jeff@madpinball.com.
ABBA? Oh, yeah, we do have the ABBA.
We do. The things are happening. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening. And